Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets that continue to inspire and motivate and encourage us gold holders, physical precious metals owners. Without further ado, another exciting weekly recap. This job's getting easy, guys. Miles, why don't you kind of tell us what's transpired?
Yeah, buckle up, boys. This is going to get real bumpy here. No, actually quite the opposite. You're completely right. I got the same story all the way down the board. So let's start off with gold up 4% from our recording last Wednesday, currently sitting at $3,046 on the spot price and still a little bit higher on the futures market. So gold starting to look a little bit parabolic. Round and round she goes. Where she'll stop, no one knows. Moving over to silver. Silver not quite as strong, up 1.6% from our recording last week to $33.80. And as we're recording, we're flirting with that 90-to-1 gold to silver ratio again right now. Platinum up 1.7%, so similar to silver, sitting just above $1,000, $1,005 an ounce for platinum. And a little bit behind it, platinum sister metal palladium up just under 1%, up about 0.85% to $955. Quick glance over at the equities market, the Dow Jones up 1.6%, sitting just under 42,000. And the S&P up 1.5% to 56.80. Both of those are still sitting down about 9% from where they topped out at here previously. And rounding out the equity indices, the NASDAQ is pretty much flat, up about a quarter of a point to 19,580. Now, all three of those paper markets have been sitting below their 200-day moving average now for about the last week or so. So most of your American indices in the equities market have been sitting just below the 200-day moving average. The Dow Industrials have bounced back up to retest it today, the S&P slightly below it, and the NASDAQ even deeper than that. So it kind of fits the expectations with the Dow being the most conservative, the NASDAQ being the least, and the S&P kind of right in the middle. So equity markets falling with a little bit of a bounce. The gold market rising and yet to show a little bit of a bounce. And all of that's on a pretty flat dollar. The dollar DXY index is sitting flat at around 103.5 after falling off a cliff over the last week or two. You may remember our show from a couple weeks ago where we had the everything was down week. Well, it seems like everything is kind of flattened out here except for gold, which continues to climb. So, boys, what the heck's going on this week?
Well, it's the big boys, that's for sure. What does the commitment of traders report show? Aren't they long 200 plus thousand contracts?
Yeah, so that's a good question over at the COT report. We've been keeping an eye on this for the last month or so because, like you said, Rob, it's been way skewed in favor of long contracts for the managed money category. In some cases, 10 or 20 to 1 we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. It's not quite that bad. I think the worst we ever saw it in the past, it was about 140,000, 150,000 long contracts to like 5,000 or 6,000 short. I think that was the biggest discrepancy we'd seen. So that percentage discrepancy is narrowed, but the numbers have gone up dramatically, Rob. We're now at about 215,000 long contracts compared to about 33 short. So at least as of last week, the long contracts keep flowing. People are still going long on gold, and the price has obviously been a clear indication of that.
Well, and I think a lot of that is due to the fact that they're repatriating gold from abroad and unwinding their short positions, their leasing. The gold carry trade has been circling about the precious metals industry for 25 years as a mechanism to borrow gold at a very cheap rate and use the proceeds to invest in whatever the institution wanted to, and then keeping the price of gold low, replacing it at the end of the year or end of the contract at a cheaper price. Well, that's not working right now. And I think what we're seeing, this rally, I think, has a good bit to do with institutions managed money covering their short positions, and they're actually creating a short covering rally. Because it's not the retail investor driving into the gold market. Most of the retail customers are enjoying the direction the country is in right now.
I think that's true in the equities markets that are also telling the story. They're not in technically bearish territory, right? They're not in a bear market. That's got to be a 20% or more retracement. They are below the 200-day moving average. And gold continuing to climb is bullish. So bearish on stocks, bullish on gold. Now it's a matter of how much gold do you own? I mean, congratulations, listener, assuming that you are a gold owner listening to this program. And whenever you did that at the right time. Always and often is when you buy gold, including currently. I'm not shying away from buying at these prices at all because it's a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to battle the same thing at $2,000 gold and $1,000 gold. I remember a big liquidation when gold hit 1,000. The guy said, "We'll never see this again in my lifetime." And he sold all of his gold. Yet here we are. So it is a paradigm shift, but the mainstream media is certainly attacking the economy. It's the tariff and the trade war concerns, and it's the expectations for continuing inflation. Even Chairman Powell got pretty political today on the FOMC meeting and saying that they would like to cut, to sort of put words in his mouth here a little bit. They have to withhold any cuts because they're uncertain as to the effect that tariffs are going to have on driving inflation higher. Well, we'll see what ends up transpiring as a result of those minutes in that meeting. But he's trying to remain politically neutral while taking a shot at economic policy out of Washington. I don't know if Main Street feels like the economy is great. I don't think that Main Street feels like it's terrible. But I will tell you this, the president's focus is on Main Street. Mm-hmm. It's not on Wall Street. And Wall Street has to get used to that right now, that they're going to do everything they can to make it better for Main Street USA. And that, to me, includes like the absence of the plunge protection team. I'm anxious to see what happens if the equities markets really do get a washout. They're not suppressing the gold price anymore.
Right.
And they're lending credence to the gold market by talking about it for the first time in 40 years and giving it significance rather than just trying to minimize its significance.
Well, but let's put that in perspective, Tori. I mean, even if Elon Musk finds all 8,100 tons sitting in Fort Knox and the government increases the price to $3,050 an ounce, okay? Because mm-hmm. people say, well, that's just going to change everything. No, it's not even $800 billion if all the gold is there and it's priced at where the gold price is right now. Versus $22 trillion in circulation here domestically, $6 trillion in circulation globally.
In U.S. dollars.
In U.S. dollars.
Yep.
And another $36 trillion in debt. You put $800 billion versus the money supply and the debt, it's not even 1%.
Well, it's not even half of the $2 trillion annual deficit that we're in the middle of right now.
Right.
So we're going to go $2 trillion deeper into debt this year, and you're telling me that $1 trillion in gold is going to solve a problem?
It's not.
It's really not.
And we're not going back on a gold standard. I hate to burst the bubble of so many well-meaning people. Well, President Trump wants to put us on a gold standard. He wants to include stablecoin, a crypto, as part of a sovereign wealth fund that they're trying to develop. So this idea of us going back on a gold standard is a wonderful idea. It would really encourage the government to have some fiscal restraint, but it's just not possible.
Well, we're meeting the global demand from a currency standpoint of liquidity.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that if you put the reserve currency on a gold standard.
Right.
Right. Suddenly that's not. Now, we may be seeing a realigning of the global monetary system because
yes.
it is a handicap for us to have the world reserve currency now.
It is.
With the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency, it's the reason that we have lost all the manufacturing jobs in the United States.
It's
primary
our
reason. Right.
Currency is too strong.
Right. So if they really do want to come against the currency in order to drive manufacturing up, okay, great. If you deplete the dollar and you're good at significantly weakening it, guess what that means for gold?
Right? Yeah.
It goes even higher. Even though we've seen gold climb when the dollar index climbed, and gold's climbing when the dollar index turns down.
It's going down.
Yeah. And that physical demand, you're right. I mean, 30 million ounces transported to New York vaults per the COMEX. You know, that's what they say. That's actually pales in comparison. Gosh, I mean, think about the gold leaving England and coming to the U.S., but the gold also has to leave England and go to Switzerland for refining because they have to convert from 400-ounce bars to kilo bars. And then now Switzerland has shipped over 83 tons to the U.S.
Right.
post-conversion. So there is a true inflow. And that is right. And with the commitment of traders showing long and, you know, the bullish sentiment in the markets with gold, even from non-gold bugs, it's nothing. To go to $3,500 gold, Miles, that's another 15%. You said we were up 15, 16% so far this year? No, 17% in 2024.
Yeah, gold's up about 17% from December 31st bottom.
In 2025.
Silver's up about 18. So we're seeing comparable moves there. But yeah, another 15% here. What does that change?
You know, 3,500 bucks.
Yeah. And I think you're right. You know, 15% on one of the biggest top-down gold shuffles in history here, the LBMA and the COMEX and shipping gold out. So, you know, 30 million ounces out of the COMEX. That's
out of London, yeah.
Out of London to New York vaults, just the inflow in New York.
That's 900 tons, okay? 30 million ounces is around 900 tons. So 900 tons moved the market $150. All I'm really getting at here is just the sheer volume or the lack of volume in what Rob was just talking about from the standpoint of, say, the Fort Knox argument. I think the Fort Knox argument is such a big argument because people have been screaming audit Fort Knox since, for Pete's sake, since the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a new concept. It's the fact that it's actually happening. I just don't think it means as much today. Like, if we had found out there was 8,000 tons of gold missing in Fort Knox in 1985, that would have been a big deal. But 8,000 tons of gold missing in Fort Knox in 2025 is like, oh yeah, the government spent that on toilet paper for the Parks Department last year. It's like, who cares?
It would rock the market, though. They're not doing the live stream. They're not going in and auditing. They're not talking about it anymore because it would roil the markets. It would cause global disruption, certainly in the gold market, but probably sovereign bond markets as well. But the central banks own the gold anyway. Let's say it is there. The Federal Reserve has that as collateral on our debt.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because it's the figurative meaning behind it, not the literal math of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the figurative meaning holds a whole lot of weight in the average investor because a person is smart, people are stupid, right? Like the last thing you want to see happen is a whole bunch of us get together and decide we're just going to put our foreheads down and start charging forward without looking. And that's why toilet paper disappears post-COVID. Toilet paper and silver dollars go away. I mean, it's Charles McKay's old book, The Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. Like they update that book again, I think COVID toilet paper and Bitcoin and probably Beanie Babies are going to get added to the list. I mean, when the retail market gets involved, and this was the whole point of our conversation a couple weeks ago, what's happening in the large scale market, in the top down market right now, is not out of the ordinary. It's out of the ordinary based on its volume. It's the biggest it's ever been. But it is something that happens from time to time. There is a large shuffling of gold ownership from time to time. Like we've had multiple conversations through the 20 years I've worked here about, oh, China's doing this big purchase out of gold and London's having to ship X number of tons to China over the next 3 months and it's going to blow up the gold market and yada, yada. And it's like we've had these things pop up from time to time. And if you give it enough time for the water level, you just threw a giant stone into the bathtub and the water is roiling. And if you give it enough time to settle, it's going to just settle at a slightly higher price. There's your 3,500 gold. The problem is if the retail gets involved.
Yeah. And the news cycle will keep rolling on and people will forget, but it's the inverse in the top down side of the gold market versus the bottom upside. Bottom upside, people are enjoying the show. Hey, I like the direction of things. Trump's at his highest approval rating of all time. And that is slowing down the retail investor buying gold from the bottom up. But from the top down, the big players are like, hey, how much claim to gold is there versus gold that we think we own? So it's always been a little whisper in the back of everybody's mind in the gold world. There's more claims against the gold than there is gold to back the claims.
Yes.
And I think that lack of trust amongst themselves is driving that as well.
Well, that's exactly why you have to own your gold physically directly and ideally in your hand. But if you are storing it, you better make sure it's with a reputable firm, because we've seen issues in that regard too. So just because the gold's coming back to the U.S., you still better have it stored, insured at a reputable vault storage facility. You know, we help our clients with that as well, in and out of an IRA. But listen, this is a different paradigm now also. It is take possession. If you don't hold it, you don't own it. It could ultimately be...
could be key.
Could be the issue.
And let me throw one other item out there to our listeners. You know, buying gold right now, Gold Eagles, what have you, but you can buy certified 100-year-old Saints and Liberties, MS-62, MS-63, MS-64, for less money per coin than Gold Eagles right now. That's never happened, ever. I mean, I'm looking at 64 Saints certified, $5 less than a Gold Eagle right now. If you want downside protection from a falling gold price, and you've done this personally, Tori, with your family's trust money, you have seen gold fall, and yet the premiums on these old $20 gold pieces held up and actually went higher.
Yeah, it's a hedge on your hedge.
It's a hedge on your hedge.
In the instance that it goes down. And speaking of that, I mean, what portion of your portfolio is physical gold representing? Because you're getting a taste here with the equities markets dipping and gold climbing. Is it enough to protect you to the downside? Because what gold does best is it minimizes the drawdown on your total investment portfolio. How's that 1% working out for you?
Or right? Even 5 or 10%.
Or 5%.
Yeah.
10%
it's
irrelevant. is a minimum.
Yeah.
It's a minimum. And it averages 10% return a year anyway. So if you're just basing it on performance over the 40, 50 years, you can't go wrong.
Right.
But if you don't have an adequate hedge on the rest of your portfolio, and what you're talking about is a hedge within your hedge.
Yeah. Buy the old coins at prices cheaper than bullion coins right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. Never seen it. I have seen prices on these Saints and Liberties 2 or 3 times the price of gold. I don't think they'll ever get back there, but they're not going to stay down where they are now.
So before we close out, guys, since we are on a bit of a run here, maybe we take a look at where we might see some of these prices going. Now, we're moving into uncharted territory, and that obviously makes it difficult to sort of predict. But the best option I've ever had is look at where we've been and how that would correlate to if we saw corrections, what would those corrections look like? So I'll toss a chart up here. You know, this is just building on something we talked about a while ago. Now, it may not be this move, but I think the next kind of top-end level where we could see a little bit of significant resistance like we did around 2000 before we take another step up, I think is up here at 3,500 on the gold price, give or take $100 up or down. I think you could see some trading at that point where once we get up there, maybe that's a place where we park for 6 months and catch our breath. And I don't know if we're going to see that in the next 6 months, but like Tori brought up a minute ago, what's 15%? We did 50 over the last 12 months. What's another 15? Now, keeping with the 35 theme, silver, I would argue, I think 35 is the ceiling for silver. Maybe next week I go a little bit more deep into this, but just kind of looking at how silver traded at the tail end of the 2010 post-2008 market crash, and silver on the back end of that, where it traded between about 28 and 35 for a couple of years before it finally broke down. I think $35 means something in the silver price. In fact, I would argue 35 means more than 50 does, even though 50 is the high or just below.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a lot more resistance in this $30 to $35 range than we are once we break past it. Now, I could end up getting proven wrong, but honestly, there's ain't nobody sitting at a sell order of $49 silver that's been parked there for the last 15 years. But this $30 to $35 range, I think, is going to be a heck of a trading range for silver. And once we blow past it, $3,500 gold and $50 silver both sound pretty good to me. Coincidentally, that would bring the ratio down to 70.
I love it.
Let's get it to 40.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that's going to do it this week, guys, on Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, do the normal YouTube things. But better yet, why not give us a call? You're always welcome to touch base with Rob, Tori, myself, or any of the other advisors at McIlvaney Precious Metals. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. If you'd like to find some more info, our website is McIlvaney.com. We're also on Twitter at ICAGold. And Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you have a great week.